Good morning. Am I on? Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community on this week of leading into the 4th of July. It's also a time when we remember our country's independence and we celebrate that. This morning I want us to be looking at it from a different perspective of freedom, and we hear about having freedom in Christ and how we can embrace that freedom each and every day. So that is kind of the theme of where we're going this morning. So I want you to kind of have that understanding of celebration and freedom in multiple ways this week as you enjoy your time with your families, maybe over the 4th. Now let's turn to the announcements. All of them are kind of before you, and they're all something we need to touch on. The first one there is the Scioto River District. We, in case you don't know, our church and all the Greene County churches are being shifted from being part of the Great Miami River District to being part of the Scioto River District. And that begins on July 1st, so that's going to happen this week. And as a part of that transition, the superintendent is also a new superintendent to that district. He wants to come over in several areas in the district and meet some of the leaders. And so we are hosting one of those events here at Faith Community, and that's on July 10th. And the clergy from the area will come and meet with the superintendent, and then a couple members from the staff parish and maybe a couple other leaders from our church will meet with the other leaders from the churches that come. Just to hear kind of the transition and what that's going to look like. It's no really difference for us here, but it's a difference in the leadership that we work with. Also, VBS, we still are always looking for people to help with VBS, so if that's something you can do, talk to Joyce or Betsy, give them a call or stop by. Also, on July 27th, we've done this the past couple years, but it's been in August, we're having the Xenia citywide worship with several churches in Shawnee Park. That's going to be on July 27th, so we won't be here. We'll be at the park, so make sure you have that in your calendar. And also, on August 3rd, I'm going to be inviting anybody who wants to be a member of the church who is not a member already for just a few hours for an orientation, and then invite you into membership. So you are someone in that category and would like to be a part of that, take note of that and let me know so I can be ready for that class on August. And just as you know, we have a beautiful church, and outside there is lots of upkeep to that, and we have several bushes around that need attention, and we're looking for some help. So if you feel like you can manage a bush or two, we would appreciate that. There's just get a hold of Margaret, and she will help guide you. With that, we also want to welcome Erica Stone to help lead us in worship today. You all know her, but today she's kind of taking the role. Carol has the day off, so we're going to enjoy Erica's gifts this morning as we begin with the prelude.
just as you are before your God. Come, now is the time to time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
Thank you, Erica. Good morning. If you'll all stand and join me in our call to worship. We gather today as a community led by the Spirit. Your way, O God, is holy. Pick up the mantle of faith and follow Christ today. Your way, O God, is holy. Listen, pray, and believe. Your way, O God, is holy. Our opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, found in your hymnal on page 400 and also on the screen.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of the
If you'll join me now in our opening prayer. God of all life and love, we are your children, and you made us free to live in joyful relationship with you and one another. Your grace empowers us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Give us the courage to love ourselves as much as you love us, and to love others with the same compassion. Amen. Would the children come up, please? Good morning.
Hello, hello.
This morning we're talking about freedom. Now, as a citizen of the United States, we have freedoms. Do you know some of the freedoms we have? One of the ones that comes to my mind very first is the freedom of religion. We can choose to worship how we want. We can choose to worship God. We could choose to worship something else, but we have that freedom. In Christ, we have freedoms. We can be the person that Christ reflects in his life. Or there are times when maybe we don't reflect that, but we do have those freedoms. There, if I showed you these, what are these? What would that? What, that is a pineapple, but what is it? A member of what family?
Hawaiian.
The Hawaiian family? We saw those last night, didn't we?
You dropped a...
I dropped
a lemon.
A lemon. So these are all what? Grapes. And under one big name of... If you went to the grocery store, you'd say, here's all the... Thank you. Here's all the fruit. Okay, well, there are things called fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Those are things we can choose to be, to reflect Christ in our life. So we have fruits of the Spirit. One of those is meekness. Do you know what meekness means? If you're meek, what does that mean? That sometimes if we see people and they're like, look what I did this, it was wonderful, that's not being meek. Being meek means that you are not drawing attention to yourself. Very good. Very good. Okay. So meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Another one, this is the one I struggle with, patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I need to pray on this one daily.
Be careful. What you pray for, you get opportunities.
Yeah. I'm still working on this fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
This one isn't going to be stuck on me. I need to work on this. Being patient. Being patient with others. Being patient with yourself. Sometimes we get upset because we can't do something that we think we should be able to do. Play the piano well. Or hit the baseball 300 yards. We need to be patient with ourselves as we grow into different things, as we grow in Christ, as we grow in different strengths in our life. Another one is self-control. That's a tough one too. That's a tough one. Peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Being a peacemaker, looking to help find peace in a situation that maybe is kind of things people might be not having patience or being mean to each other. Joy. Showing joy in your life. Finding joy in things around you. Faithfulness. That's a big one for Christians. Being faithful. Being faithful to Christ. Being faithful to God. Being faithful in our, and perhaps in our relationships with our friends, with our family members. Gentleness. Being gentle. Many times, and in many situations, gentleness goes along with peace or faithfulness. If you are gentle in your approach with people, That can smooth a lot of situations. That can make people feel accepted and welcomed. Love. Talked about faith, and then the last one is goodness. And that kind of is an overarching umbrella of many of these others. So just like there are many fruits that we enjoy eating, that we see growing, that make beautiful nature scenes on the trees with the flowers that come before the fruit, there are things that God allows us to have choices, and they're called fruits of the Spirit, and different things that we can do in our lives to reflect Christ in us. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask today that you allow us and help us to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Allow us to bring peace to situations. Allow us to be faithful to you and to our faith. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll join me now for our prayer hymn, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, page 462 in your hymnal.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon him.
This morning, as we go through our time of prayer, I want to share something personal, and then I want to also help you share maybe a little bit of what's on your hearts this morning. Last night, my son and his contacted us and told us that he was taking his wife to the hospital. She's pregnant with our grandson, and he was at 29 weeks, and she ended up having a HELP syndrome, which is a severe risk to both the mom and the baby. And at 3:30 in the morning, when They delivered a son. His name is Arlo. He is in the NICU in the University Hospital in Cleveland and is doing well, but he's got a long road. My daughter-in-law is doing well after the surgery. But all in all, things are in the right place. They're where they need to be. And so we appreciate your prayers. But this isn't about me. We just sang a song about, let's put our trust in Jesus. And we have, and we're doing. It doesn't mean it gets easier. So this is just a time for us to kind of share what's on our hearts. So what's on your heart this morning? There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot that meets each one of us in each and every day. What's on your hearts this morning? You can, if you would like. Yeah. Alice's sister passed away on Friday. Sharon wanted to come up and lay hands on us, if anybody else would. And anything? Gaza and Ukraine. Anything else? We know everybody deals with different things, and we all are a church. We come together whenever we can. So I appreciate your prayers this morning. Well, let us go before our Lord in prayer. Amazing God, you have done so much. As we look at everything that you've done, we kind of limit what you can do. But Lord, you have given your Son to save us, to free us from all kinds of maladies, mainly from ourselves. So Lord, we just ask that you would continue to work in each one of us so that we can truly share who you are through the hearts that you are creating in us. Lord, this morning we are crying out to you for many different reasons. Lord, we think of Gaza and Ukraine and all that they are going through with so much that is going against them. Lord, we just ask that you would be with them and also be with just the leaders that are in control of all things that go along with this. Lord, we know that hearts need to be changed in order for anything to be changed. So we pray to you. Lord, we think of Alice and her family as her sister has passed away. Lord, those bonds and friendships will never end. But the closeness will be different. Lord, we think of baby Carson as he continues to fight. It's a long road. Lord, we also ask you to be with our family, and baby Arlo, and our daughter-in-law, Emily, and her son, Cale. It's a long road for them as well. Lord, we put our trust in you because we know that without you, there are no lights that are there for us to find that joy and that hope. So with you in our hearts, our hope is in you. In all these situations, we know that you're at work. We trust that you are in the midst of it all. You're crying along with us. You're there walking in strength and giving us strength. Give us courage to walk with you so that those around us will see that there is hope in all things, regardless of how hard it might be. Lord, all glory is yours, always and forever. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Life is wonderful, and God gives us life. And we pray for life to be something as vibrant in each and every one of us. As we continue to live a life that has our hope and our joy in Christ, may we be able to share just a little bit of what we have with others so that we can truly be the church, and the church can be a place for people to come and to discover the hope we have. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Joyce. Together in the prayer of dedication. Receive our humble offerings, O Lord, for your work in the world. Bless those who give, those who send, and those who will receive these gifts. May our offerings sow seeds of hope and bear the fruit of love wherever they are sown. Amen. You may be seated.
stand amidst a throng of brethren. My eyes roam from friend to friend. People of all lands and ages, features as varied as your names. But on each face I find a mark, transfiguring the physical, the living spirit shining through. I see Jesus in your radiant face. As a family, you lend your aid and extend your helping hands in love. No matter why I'm overwhelmed, I feel a new strength flowing in. For on the spirit level you have given more than others could, because your hands are not your own. I feel Jesus in your gentle touch. Each time we gather in His presence, I'm enchanted by the dialogue. For the sounds of joy and praise and grace are uplifting music on your tongues. There's a cadence or inflection, or is it in your tone? I recognize it somehow. Jesus in your loving voice. You teach me of another world where time becomes of no concern. A land without restraint of breath, where spirits sing and souls rejoice. Fame and wealth will disappear, for there will have but one desire, to search and know the depths of God. I know Jesus in your longing heart. I know Jesus in you. I hear Jesus in you.
Thank you, Erica. We want to thank Erica for providing all our music today. It's quite a feat. I don't know if you've ever watched Carol run around back and forth. Well, Erica's doing the same thing this morning. Keeps them really busy, and we appreciate the talent. Our scripture reading today comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, throughout our lifetimes, July 4th has been a national holiday commemorating, of course, the United States' independence from the United Kingdom. The colonies were freed from the reign of the king and the law of their land. Initially, however, our Constitution wasn't clear enough for the colonies who became states as to what freedoms the people of the United States would have. As a result, the Bill of Rights was developed and incorporated into the Constitution in 1791. The rights intended to clarify what the people thought it meant to be free. The rights we have, you all know, include the freedom of religion, speech, the press, assembly, and petition. These are all means for us to freely act without fear of government oppression. In addition, there are specific rights granted to bear arms, to equal justice, to own private property, and to enjoy life through travel, work, family, education, and forming political and other legal groups. These are all to ensure the government's power over the people isn't abused. The Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and the Bill of Rights establish a nation of states governed by the people for the people. So at the core, our nation was set apart to serve one another, to assure we all have a life of opportunity for liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I am grateful that I have lived my whole life in this country, which was founded on such principles. I can personally say I have never doubted my freedom or felt my freedom being threatened. But it is clear throughout our nation's history, and even now, that many people and groups of people did and do question if their freedoms and rights have in some way been violated. Thank goodness for our basic freedoms of speech, assembly, and petition to feel free to share our concerns with the nation's leaders. In an ideal situation, this would be sufficient. The people expose an issue and the people are heard and a resolution is worked out. But the reality is we don't live in an ideal world, do we? We live in a world that celebrates individualism, when individualism is the favoring of freedom of action for individuals over the collective. Individualistic behaviors don't lead to the freedoms defined by our founding documents. So thanks be to God's intervention and revelation within the Holy Scriptures, which expose the reality that we have a nature of immoral character that separates us from God and from others. You see, our nature is one that desires to serve ourselves, hence our leaning toward individualism.
This is a human problem, and we cannot escape it on our own. The whole of the Scripture shares our need for a Savior and reveals Jesus Christ as our Savior, who breaks the chains of our enslavement to our selfishness and sin, our nature, to free us to live a new life. A new life that reconciles us with God and our neighbors. Paul declared that this reality is true freedom, writing, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." See, our attraction to individualism is a dangerous path toward retaining the yoke that Jesus freed us from. Jesus is our liberator, our emancipator, who gives us true freedom. The freedom we experience in the United States isn't the same thing, but the freedom we have in Christ can help us nurture a freedom everyone can experience. So let's look to Paul's encouragement to the Galatians to learn more about what freedom we have in Christ. Now, if we look at the basic definition of freedom, it means something like having the power or right to do anything we want without restraint. Now, I think we all would agree that when we wake up in the morning, we believe this definition to be true for us. At the same time, I also think we understand that if everyone just did what they wanted, things would get pretty chaotic very quickly. So if that is true, then there must be some rules of freedom. Sounds crazy, right? Restrictive freedom is an oxymoron, isn't it? The issue is my freedom can't take away your freedom, and vice versa. Paul corrects our understanding of freedom, explaining, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole of the law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In this letter, Paul was responding to a group who was demanding that the Gentiles, that's the non-Jews, be circumcised and follow the law of Moses and all the restrictions the Jewish leaders had placed on the people to assure the law was upheld. The people were burdened by so many laws and stipulations, they feared the law more than they feared God. And Paul argued, and Jesus himself taught, that Jesus fulfilled the law, which humanity could not fulfill on their own. And by faith in Jesus, we are freed from the burden of the many laws, except for one. We are free when we love our neighbor as ourselves. It is easy to fall into the trap to think freedom is all about me. But as Christians who have freedom in Christ, we embrace righteousness truly demonstrated through love. We let go of the notion that righteousness comes through the adherence to a set of rules. Rules only affect external behaviors, where love affects internal motivations that impact external actions. Embracing freedom, our allegiance moves from law to love. Now, even though we have been saved by Jesus' work on the cross and trust our life to be secure in Him for all eternity, we still have our human nature. But in Christ, we know that we have been given the Holy Spirit to give us new birth and a transformed life. And Paul reminds us of this, saying, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other." I admit there have been moments when I felt like I would feel freer if I didn't have Jesus in my life. I could just do what I want and never feel guilty. However, friends, know this. The feeling of conviction that we get as Christ followers is the Holy Spirit in conflict with our spirit. And this is a good thing. There's one thing we need to know about this opposition within us, though. And that is, we can't be neutral. We will take a side. Every moment of our life, we will either putting forth the effort to feed our desires, or we are following the desire of the Holy Spirit. If we do not consider the Holy Spirit as one of intimate importance, then we remain burdened by our flesh and lose the freedom that we have in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is important. If we keep the Holy Spirit in the forefront, the Spirit will overcome the opposition, and we are free to live and love in a way that is not self-serving. In order to follow the Spirit, we must want to be led. Our freedom is only possible when we embrace the Holy Spirit's power to resist temptation. Now, in our baptisms, when we trust in Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit. But in order to live by the Spirit, we have to invite the Holy Spirit to lead us moment by moment. I know that may sound ridiculous or even burdensome to consider what God, through the Holy Spirit, desires of us. Let me ask you this. If our desire is to please the Lord, then what better way to live than to be led by the Spirit of the living God? Our flesh, our own spirit is strong, and if that wasn't the case, then why did Jesus die on the cross and send the Spirit to guide us? We can't take this lightly. Jesus died for us because of our works of the flesh, as Paul called them. They're plentiful and obvious. Paul gave a long list that wasn't even the whole list. We don't need a list. We know what sinful behavior looks like. So let's not focus on that list. There are four areas in our life in which we are most challenged that are represented in the list. Sex, religious and spiritual misguidance, disorder in our relationships, and self-indulgence. See, we can come up with things to add to Paul's list, but there's a good chance it would fit into one of these categories. And if we took a 50-foot perspective view, we can see that everything can be lumped into this. Getting what we want, how we want it, and when we want it to make ourselves feel the way we want. Are you beginning to see how we can be a slave to our desires? Haven't you felt relief before when you decided to let something go, when you couldn't quite get it the way you thought you wanted it? That is the freedom we're talking about. Instead of getting to the point where we feel the stress, the guilt, the shame, we are free to follow the Spirit before we go down the path of striving for our desires. Again, every moment of our life is potential conflict within us, and we can't be neutral. So our cooperation with the Holy Spirit is something we have to develop. In effect, we are asking the Holy Spirit to change our spirit. We are being transformed from the inside through the invitation to the Holy Spirit and our willingness to be led. So until we are more naturally following the Spirit, we need to be more diligent in asking the Spirit's guidance. And the good news is we have a means for checking our progress of following the Spirit's lead. It's when Paul explained, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against such things. You see, when we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit within us, We are free to live without our freedoms being wrongs toward others. Love is first in this list. Again, this list isn't exhaustive, but when love leads the way, our concern is always for the other before ourselves. Maybe you know Andy Stanley. He's a theologian and a preacher. And in his video preaching series titled Brand New, he challenged his audience to ask this question anytime we're interacting with people. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? This is a neat little way to invite the Holy Spirit to give us guidance. The answer to this question may be patience. Another time it may be kindness. Another time it may be gentleness. And often it's self-control. You get the idea, right? We don't need rules or laws or other restrictions to follow when we lead with love. That's what the Spirit does for us. It becomes clear we are responding to the Spirit's leading when we embrace the likeness of Christ produced in us. We can see the transformation in our lives when the fruit of the Spirit is on display for all the world to see. Friends, we have freedom in Christ. So why not embrace the freedom that we have? Embrace righteousness as demonstrated through love. Embrace the Holy Spirit's power to resist temptation. And ultimately embrace the likeness of Christ that is being produced in us as we grow. So let's be confident in who we are in Christ and know our freedom is secure in Him, because as Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Now is the time to get in step. Here's our way of doing it. Stop trying to be a free spirit and be free in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you please stand now and join us in our closing hymn, Trust and Obey, page 467 in your hymnal, verses 1, 3, and 4.
We never can prove.
to challenge you that when we talk about trusting and obey, that you will be looking for the Holy Spirit to be the one that you are trusting and obeying. It's a shift from law to love. It's a hard transition for us because we always want to know what we're abiding by. But if we hold on to love and trust and obey, the Holy Spirit will show the way. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm resting on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still bringing as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane. Skin.